trying to keep my head up hot. It's been the story. It's been the story. Yeah, yeah. I'm learning how to smile when it's pouring. Yeah, yeah. Even if I'm in the midst of the storm cloud. Whoa, whoa. I dance in the morning when I see the sun's out. I had to wipe away all of the tears. PTSD on the first go around. I was recovering all of these years. Then you just bring it back up, shock value up. Act like nothing ever happened. And right to my face, and no remorse, you capping. You playing the victim, some Hollywood acting, a golden glow. Feature role, pumping the kitchen to see the hoes. That was the darkest moment of my life. Where you were looking, laughing, and counting dough. Bang roll, story told. I was the one who was dirty though. Didn't he say we'll run and go hide in the back when I came to the front door? Yeah. I'm trying to keep my head up hot. That's been the story. It's been the story. Yeah, yeah. I'm learning how to smile when it's pouring. Yeah, yeah. Even if I'm in the midst of the storm cloud. Whoa, whoa. I dance in the morning when I see the sun's out. The struggle is real, no money to pay for the bills. Calling our meals on wheels, huh? Get in the block of that government cheese to keep all your babies feel. How do you feel about those hard times? I tend to get violent, aggressive, depressive. We trying to scrape dimes. Thinking about hours, standing and waiting in those stamp lines. It's keeping me hustling, working and moving. I won't go back in time. That was my last line. Praying to God to keep these blessings. I know those days are dark. I swear I learned so many lessons. I'm never going back.
Happy Wednesday to all of my LFA family worldwide. What's going on? Joey Vontaze here for this live segment and transmission of the Vontaze Point. Good evening to all of you amazing people tuning in coast to coast, wherever you are. Thank you for being here with me. Moose Trap, or Moose for Trump, rather. What's up? Logan, what's going on? Bobby Driver, Bad Moon. Let's see. Sherry Welch, what's going on? Deb Poland, great to see you. Dover. Doc 68 Whiskey, what's up? TJT, how you doing? Lucy B. Gone, John Yarder, Carl, what's going on? And everybody else in the chat, I see right now we have about 1,500 people live in the chat. Thank you so much for being here with me on this live transmission of the Vontaze Point here on the LFA TV network. Man, we have some exciting things lined up. Some exciting things lined up here as the LFA family to deliver to all of you amazing people. You have been supporting us. You have been here faithfully, consistently watching, sharing out the content, sharing out the links. And we have some great things on the horizon. I've just got off the phone about half an hour ago with Brother Jeremy to discuss a number of things. And I'll tell you what, there's some shifts and some different things that are taking place that are going to be nothing but beneficial for the entire LFA TV family. So big shout out to all of you for supporting and doing what you do on a consistent basis to keep us going in the right direction. And listen, if you're new to the channel and you just popped on for the first time, maybe you're watching us from LFA's or from Rumble's algorithm feed. Maybe you're watching on X. Maybe you're popping in through Facebook, YouTube, or any of the other platforms that are available, which we stream. We appreciate you so much. Remember, you can always hop over to lfatv.us and you can click on shows, watch all the various shows that we have available, all the various talent that we have, incredible people like the guy right before me, Drew Hernandez, and the amazing girl right after me, right? The amazing young woman and doing her incredible thing, which she has some great stuff coming up here in a minute as well, Hannah Faulkner. And so as you can see, guys, we have a great lineup of content, talent, and people bringing you the truth unfiltered, uncensored each and every day. And it's all because of you. And so we thank you so much. You can also drop in your donations here on the lfatv.us site. You can shop the store, check out some merch, pick some things up. You can also pop over to the news link, and there you can get all of the latest popular conservative news feed from around the nation. So be sure to tap in and take advantage of all of that that is available to you right there. For me personally, you can hop over to my site. You can go to joeyvontaze.com, click directly on the picture there on the Vontaze Point. You can get in directly as well into the stream. If you're ever having any issues on the Rumble stream, you can pop right in and watch it live from my site right there on that link. You can also hop over and scroll down below and you can join the Truth Uncensored Members Only Club, where we have a number of content, pieces of information that are coming out, whether it be live streams, whether it be podcast interviews. All of those various segments are available right there for you. $4.99 per month or $50 covers the whole year, and it goes to a good cause in supporting the truth movement and pushing us forward. And then down below, if you would rather just drop in a donation, you can do that as well here on the site, joeyvontez.com. And let's get this thing started off right today. Now, and one more thing real quick as well. For those of you who are on Instagram, follow me on Instagram, okay? At Joey Vontez, also on X at Joey Vontez as well. So don't forget about all of that great stuff. Now, as we kick off today's chat, a couple of things happened and transpired today that caught my attention that I want to talk about with you. One of the first things that happened that really grabbed my attention, because I'm still waiting to see some actions, I'm still waiting to see some results, if you will, from one particular individual who is at the helm of what is considered to be our justice system. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to figure out who I'm talking about here. None other than Pam Bondi, okay? And so while Trump was at the Kennedy Center providing a speech, talking about a number of different things and basically conducting a presser, he shifted gears midway through what he was talking about and gave direct orders to none other than Pam Bondi. Watch for yourself. Check this out.
With them, great, actually. We had the Russia. I had to go through the Russia hoax. And it was actually, it was a strain on the relationship. I actually told them, I said, you know, they got this phony investigation going on, Russia. Totally phony, created by Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff, and Hillary Clinton and the whole group of them. And it made it very dangerous for our country, because I was unable to really deal with Russia the way we should have been. I'm looking at Pam, because I hope something's going to be done about it. These people put our country at great danger. And Adam Schiff, it was all made up. It was a hoax. The Mueller report came out. They all hated me. They had 18 Trump haters, and they said I did nothing wrong. They couldn't find anything after years of investigation. It was all a hoax. It was a hoax created by the Democrats, but in particular Schiff and Crooked Hillary, the whole group. And now we've learned all the stuff that's come out over the last 2 months is incredible through intelligence. And hopefully something's going to happen with it. These are people that put our country in danger, in real danger. I want to thank you all very much. Thank you very much.
So as you can see here from the podium, he turned his attention over to AG Pam Bondi. And what did he say, chat? He said it plainly. He didn't mess around in this. He said, listen, Pam, investigate Hillary and investigate Adam Schiff. Look, two of the central figures that have been behind this whole hoax that we've been hearing about, fleshed over and over and over again, the political weapon that tried to take down the duly elected president and overturn the will of the American people. And we've seen this garbage continue to perpetuate, but we're still at the point where, after what, 200 plus days in office, 200 plus days that Pam Bondi has been in her role, what have we seen? What actions have we seen that have been put in play to make any arrests or do anything to bring any of these people to consequence for their actions? And so the question is, will she act? Or will this be another moment that fires up the crowd but ends up buried after months of excuses? And so we have to watch how this plays out. Now, look, we've watched the various things that have unfolded, whether it be in these 6 months, right? The fact that Bondi has the full power of the Department of Justice at her command, 6 months where she could have already moved on the biggest cases of our lifetime, and nothing's been done yet. We can talk about promises made. We can talk about results missing when it comes to Bondi overall. We can talk about the weaponization of government against the American people, digging into the Epstein network, going after the corruption at the highest levels that we've seen. We've heard about tens of thousands of Epstein videos, but we still haven't seen any results. We've heard about the efforts to unseal the grand jury testimony, even the meetings that recently took place with Ghislaine. But what has happened from that? What happened? What actions have actually taken place? But here's the truth. we've seen nothing yet. No client lists, no big arrests. And every single major player on the Epstein or within the Epstein orbit still walking free. And it's the same pattern, I believe, over and over again, right? These bold statements, these massive headlines, and then we get this silence. And meanwhile, these swamp creatures, the American people have to continue to watch them walk around unfettered, untouched, continuing to do the same things. And that's why I believe this moment is absolutely crucial that took place at the Kennedy Center. And I think this moment matters so much because this isn't a suggestive option anymore. Trump calls her out in public and says, Pam, you got to do something about this. Directly from the commander-in-chief to his top law enforcement official. But will it actually happen? Right? Will this actually happen? He pointed to Hillary and to Shifty Schiff. He put them on notice and right there in front of the whole country. And so the base wants to know, Pam, are you actually going to be fighting for the American people? Are you actually going to go after these individuals? Or are you just another political placeholder who's going to talk tough but protect the very people who tried to destroy this country from within? She's had the time. She's had the evidence. Or at least she said she did, unless she was lying to us. I mean, but the reality is now she's been given the green light, or so to speak. And so if Bondi moves, if she does happen to bring charges against Hillary Clinton, Adam Schiff, and I think if she does this, it will be the most important step, I believe, towards real justice that we've seen in decades. And I think it will help to alleviate some of the tensions that have drastically been rising on the base and within the base because nothing has been done up to this point. But if she doesn't chat, Logan even says, hey, Trump needs to remove her. Our star, Trump needs to remove her yesterday. Natalie says, hey, Bill Barr part two. Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, it's asking if she doesn't do this, then what happens? Do you think Trump will actually remove her if she doesn't do anything about this? We're talking about every single promise about cleaning the house and not doing it, but will Trump actually remove Bondi? That's the question. And I'm not quite sure if he will. That's just my real unfiltered, uncensored, raw opinion on the table. I don't know if he's going to do it. But I will tell you this, Logan. You said I need to be AG for Trump's team. Hey, he calls me up. Better believe I'll be ready to move. And I'll be ready to take some action. And I won't take any bribes. And I think it requires somebody like that. I believe in certain roles, right? In various roles, maybe you can have some people who have been these politicians and they know the game, etc., to work certain things. But I think at the end of the day, the real people who should be sitting in these kind of roles, such as the attorney general, need to be loyalists. You cannot have just anybody running around in these positions, people who have something. I start with everybody else believing, okay, she's the person for the hour. She's going to come in. She's going to clean house. She means business. She talked a big game. But we've not seen one thing done up to this point. And it's very, very frustrating to say the least. So the clock is ticking. The order's been given. The American people are absolutely watching in suspense. And I think there's no more pressers, right? No more vague updates. We need action. We need real, visible, undeniable action from Pamela Bondi. Timestamp this and put this out, chat, as a clip. We need action from Pamela Bondi, period. She's got the power. She's got the evidence. And tonight, she has a public directive from the President of the United States himself to act. And I think it's time we got to do something about this. Let's pause for a quick break to watch this commercial.
Is the continued divide between Trump and the Federal Reserve putting us behind the curve again? Can the Fed take action at the right time, or are we going to be looking at a potential economic slowdown? And what does this mean for your savings? Consider diversifying with gold through Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been viewed as a safe haven in times of economic stagnation, global uncertainty, and high inflation. And Birch Gold makes it incredibly easy for you to diversify some of your savings into gold. If you have an IRA or an old 401k, you can convert that into a tax-sheltered IRA in physical gold, or just buy some gold to keep in your safe. But first, get educated. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. Just text the name Vantes, V-A-N-T-E-S, to the number 989898. Again, text V-A-N-T-E-S to 989898. Consider diversifying a portion of your savings into gold. That way, if the Fed can't stay ahead of the curve for the country, at least you can stay ahead for yourself.
And as we pop back in tonight, chat, the gloves have seemed to come off. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, serving under Trump, has just dropped a new political bombshell. If you haven't read this already, we're going to kind of go through it a little bit together here. I guess what we can actually read from it, because some of it is broken up a little bit by the scan, it looks like. But this newly declassified top secret number of emails dated December 22nd, 2016, reveal for us exactly how then Obama DNI James Clapper ordered the intelligence community to fall in line with the predetermined narrative. Literally, on the second line of the email, it says here, look, in the highest tradition of that, that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Okay, this is provided across the board. Absolutely wild. This was a direct response to President Obama's order to rush the now infamous 2017 January Intelligence Community Assessment, the ICA, and supposed Russian election interference. And then in Clapper's own words, this was a team sport. They came to play team ball, okay? And the agencies would have to compromise on our normal modalities, is what they said. The translation to this, chat, is that it was to abandon all normal standards, bypassing using the usual vetting, if you will, and producing the right answers to match the political marching orders from the White House. That's how it went down. The ICA became the launch pad for the Russia hoax. Plain and simple. And the weapon used to try to cripple Donald Trump's presidency before it even began at that point in time. Now, at the time, NSA Director Mike Rogers, he pushed back on this, actually. He actually warned them that they didn't have enough time or access to properly verify the claims before the ICA's release. But Clapper, he had to chime in, right? He had to chime in. He said this. He said, look at this. Unity over accuracy. Okay? He said the report had to be rushed out to serve the narrative. And so now, under Trump's leadership, Gabbard is declassifying these documents so that the American people can see the truth for themselves. And I'm so glad that she is, right? Because it's no longer just some speculation that's floating around. This is written proof that the intelligence apparatus under Obama manufactured consensus to fit a political objective. This is crazy, okay? And this is what Mike Rogers actually said in this. If you could read it on the bottom there in the last two paragraphs, he said, I've just returned from a TDY overseas and been updated on the current status of our efforts to produce a joint product related to the Russian attribution and intent for the DNC DCCC hacks. I know that this activity is on a fast track and that folks have been working very hard to put them together or put together a product that can be provided to the president. However, I wanted to reach out to you directly to let you know of some concerns I have with what I'm hearing from my folks. He says, specifically, I asked my team if they had sufficient access to the underlying intelligence and sufficient time to review that intelligence. On both points, my team raised concerns. They were clear at the staff level, folks have been forward-leaning, and trying to ensure that we have an opportunity to review and weigh in, but I'm concerned that given the expedited nature of this activity, my folks aren't fully comfortable saying that they've had enough time to review. Okay? So he laid this out quite plain. And he goes on to say that this is the issue he has with this whole thing. But it was an actual manufactured element to put together this narrative. And it didn't matter if the facts were there or not. It didn't matter if they had proof or not. It didn't matter that if everything actually matched up with the ICA, the intelligence reports, etc. It was just, hey, look, let's lock arms and lock step, walk left, right, left together, and we are going to release this upon the Trump administration, upon Donald Trump himself, and we are going to discredit this man walking into office before he even steps foot into the White House. Line them up, John Yarder says. March them up the steps of the gallows, place the neckties on, and pull the lever. That's what this, honestly, I believe requires. I believe the law and order that is required in this moment pertaining to the crime that was committed here fits the bill with what John is saying. And I think it's time for these individuals to be prosecuted. How long has it been now that all of these politicians and people serving in the government are able to benefit off of this immunity? All these immunity clauses, immunity for judges, immunity for these politicians, immunity for these intelligence officials, and they just wave it around and they know basically that they have a blank check from an illegal standpoint to do whatever they want and go completely unchecked, no oversight, complete overreach, an abuse of power, an abuse of discretion through and through, and they're still able to do it without being touched. And there's got to be something that Trump can put into play while he's in office to eliminate that from being a real possibility any further, because these people need to face consequences. And I think it's more than just a slap on the wrist. I think it's more than just a resignation or a firing. I think it's going to require some people to be hit with treason. I think it's going to require some people to be hit with sedition. I think it's going to be requiring some people to be hit with the full consequence of what those crimes bring. Enough is enough. Because the reality is, you let these people continue to go unchecked, it's just going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's like a child who you neglect to discipline. What's going to happen? And it's the same way in these instances. If you do not let these people face the adequate consequences for their crimes that they've committed, because they're crimes. But on the flip side of that, if you do allow these people to face these consequences and you take them to the gallows, then guess what? Next time around, when somebody has the opportunity to think about doing this, they're going to think twice. They're going to be a little more apprehensive to say, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to make up this scheme against the President of the United States because I could potentially hang for it. I might end up facing a firing squad, so maybe I should just keep my mouth shut and just keep moving along and fall in line with the leadership that I have above me. Right? For the good of the country, not for the good of yourself. For the good of the country, not for your coup and your intentional workings to get in line with the deep state to overthrow our country. This is why we need loyalists. We need loyalists in these positions. We can no longer continue to have these individuals who are not aligned with the United States of America. They are not about the red, white, and blue. They're not about the American dream. They're not about pushing freedom forward. They're about themselves. They're about destroying this great nation. They're about destroying your children. They're about destroying the future. And it's about time that we finally stepped up to the plate and called out for consequences to be brought forth upon these people. End of story. And I think that's how we have to push this. The unchecked power has to end now. And so it's the paper trail, I think, showing how this Russia hoax wasn't born from honest analysis. That's what these documents show. It shows clearly that it was engineered. And here's the chain, right? Obama gave the orders. Clapper tells the IC to play ball and cut corners. The rushed ICA report drops January 2017. The document is then used to justify the FISA warrants, the endless investigations, and the years of all the hysteria regarding Russia. That's how this whole thing played out. So all of it was built on a report that was compromised before it even left the printer. And with this declassification, the next move is obvious. Got to start with the subpoenas. Got to start with the testimony that's under oath. Got to start with these legal consequences for anyone who abused their position to weaponize our intelligence agencies against the American people and especially against the President of the United States. So I commend and give a salute to DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, for handing us these receipts, because this is the kind of transparency that America was promised. And now it's up to the Department of Justice to act. And that's where I kind of get a little bit iffy, because I'm not sure Pam Bondi has it in her to actually take action. And so we'll kind of pay attention there and see how this plays out. Now this.
I now recognize Mr. Mike Howell for 5 minutes for his opening statement.
Members of the subcommittee, thank you for the opportunity to testify about the role of NGOs or non-governmental organizations in facilitating mass illegal immigration. I currently serve as the executive director of the Oversight Projects and previously was at DHS and on Capitol Hill conducting oversight of immigration matters. The United States of America is still reeling from the worst border invasion in its history. This was an invasion that was planned, promoted, encouraged, funded, and sustained by radical elements of the previous administration. But this invasion could not have been accomplished without a colossal partnership with the NGO community. Simply put, the government just did not have the capacity to get this many people in and around the country without the support of the nonprofits. And to that end, they gave them almost $6 billion to a conglomerate of UN agencies and over 200 NGOs to do just that, according to statistics from the Center for Immigration Studies. The result was that Border Patrol became a daycare. They became Uber drivers just to shuttle illegals to the nonprofits to get them around the country. Now, the Oversight Project has led the way in exposing what I call this border industrial complex. In December of 2022, we did the first of its kind study where we tracked illegal aliens by their cell phones as they went through these nonprofits at the border. In just a 1 month period, in tracking 30,000 devices, so a very small subset of the 10 million that Biden had crossed the border, we found out that the illegals went to nearly every single congressional district in the United States. We proved that every town was indeed a border town.
Wow. The receipts are absolutely damning. And they keep coming in. It's crazy, right? We've now found hard proof that the Democrat regime basically funneled $6 billion to a network of United Nations agencies and more than 200 different NGOs, okay, that were being used to facilitate what can be called the illegal immigration invasion in the United States, okay? And I've told some of you this before, some of you have been with me from the beginning, but just to kind of touch on it again, a friend of mine who was working in the border agencies and whatnot had shared with me that after he had left the patrol, he had gone into a couple of these contract options, if you will, where they were having these massive housing communities in Texas and in Florida and in a couple other places where they were bringing in all these kids. So these young kids that were coming across the border with these adults, they would separate them from the adults. And then they would take these kids to these facilities. They were placing them there. They had all this nice stuff, nice clothes, Xbox, you know, PlayStation, whatever, you name it. Basketball courts, I said, state-of-the-art facilities. Okay. Nice everything. They'd give him shots, clean him up, take care of him, all these various things. Give him a brand new cell phone. He's talking about almost a $2,000 cell phone. Okay. They would get this, and then these kids would receive their sponsorship papers. And many of these kids did not even know the sponsors and who they were getting sent out to. So they'd be flown out to Chicago, LA, New York, etc. They'd get sent out to these places, and they were given an exact time frame, usually within like 48 hours, that once they arrived and got settled in, they had to call and check in. They had to use the app to show their location, etc., and give notice that they were okay. And then they would have to check in every so many days. He said over 90% of these kids never called in, never checked in. Most of them disappeared, never saw them again. He said, interestingly enough, some of these kids would actually come back. Somehow, they were rerouted back after going to their sponsor. Come back in from Chicago, be there for 2-3 weeks, get shipped off to a new sponsor in LA. And he had a sneaking suspicion that there was trafficking going on. Which I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case. But it's wild to see how all this breaks down in terms of these NGOs and all these funneling. And we know and understand now how these NGOs are created many times by these politicians through relatives, etc., that were pumping money out to all these organizations that were funneling right back to their pocket and basically leaving way or leading right into these trafficking operations. And the man that was breaking all this down is someone who's been on the inside, Mike Howell, the executive director of the Oversight Project, formerly the Department of Homeland Security on Capitol Hill, overseeing the immigration issues. Now, Howell's words were absolutely blunt in this, right? The United States of America is still reeling from the worst border invasion in American history. And it wasn't just incompetence, okay? It was coordinated, it was funded, and it was global. And the reality is that the federal government, even with its bloated bureaucracy, didn't have the manpower or logistics to move this many people through and around the country. There's no way. So they turned to their partners, these NGOs, right? Mike Howell calls it the Border Industrial Complex, a colossal partnership that was placed between the Biden administration and these nonprofit sectors, bolstered by the United Nations itself. Okay? And the price tag for the partnership was $6 billion. I mean, let that sink in for a second. This wasn't just a check to one group. It was spread across this conglomerate of UN agencies and over 200 NGOs whose mission, in practice, was to process transportation. You're talking embedding millions of illegal immigrants and aliens across the United States. And if you think about that, basically these taxpayer dollars funding the very single machinery that's erasing the border and redistributing the consequences into every corner of America. That's what they were doing. And so the Oversight Project didn't stop at the paper trail, chat. They didn't stop there. They tracked illegal aliens by their own cell phone signals as they moved through these NGO networks to really find out what was really going on here. And in 1 month alone, they actually said they found 30,000 devices. Okay? And that was just a fraction of the estimated 10 million who've crossed under Biden. But they found those devices pinging in nearly every single congressional district in the United States. And I want you to let that sink in for a second, because that's every town, essentially, near a border town. So it wasn't just some random pick. This was not organic. This was a coordinated redistribution of millions of people into communities specifically that never consented to it, funded with billions of your dollars, chat. Routed through these globalist organizations. All with zero accountability to the American voter. And the United Nations, the unelected, unaccountable body, if you will, has been the central player in an operation to undermine U.S. sovereignty. And they didn't do it alone. There's no way they could have, right? They had to have this active partnership with the Democratic regime in D.C. So this isn't a scandal that calls for, you know, a strongly worded letter. Bad DNC, right? Bad United Nations. No. This demands as well criminal investigations and prosecutions. A total shutdown of taxpayer funding for NGOs that are aiding and abetting illegal entry into this country. And it calls for the president, once again, the AG, who we don't know if she's going to move and do anything, to dismantle this border industrial complex once and for all before it destroys what sovereignty we have left. But the proof is here. The money trail has been clear. Okay? And the fingerprints lead to United Nations, the UN, the 200 various NGOs, and the Democrat machine, the deep state that still sits in Washington. And the American people have a choice here. We can either sit back and stay silent, or we can step up to the plate and force these people. We have to make our voices heard loud and clear. But we need to push them to actually do something about it. Because enough is enough. Now, as we pivot real quick, what I'm about to show you next is not some movie scene, okay? This is Representative Luna on the Joe Rogan Experience claiming, among other things, it was an interesting podcast to say the least. Go back and watch it when you get a chance. But she mentioned on this that the CIA's Cold War era remote viewing program actually located the Ark of the Covenant, right? They said it was underground, guarded, sealed away from the world. But this is what she said. Check this out.
What's interesting is the CIA allegedly located the Ark of the Covenant. I think the...
They remote viewed it.
Oh. You can actually find that. You should actually
pull it up. In Ethiopia?
No, not in Ethiopia, but it was in a Middle Eastern country. They weren't able to locate the actual... I think the New York Post did an article on it where they actually have the handwritten notes on the Ark of the Covenant location. And they remote viewed it. You should ask them to pull it up. Yeah. I'm serious about it.
Did they go there and see if they were
correct?
I don't know.
This is like Indiana Jones.
What?
But...
Decades-old CIA documents on Ark of the Covenant resurfaced amid classified group text spat. What?
Wait, like... yeah.
It was a group text argument that caused this stuff to be
released?
No,
check out. Pull up the New York Post one because they actually have the handwritten notes from the remote viewer that actually documents it.
Okay.
It should be... I think it's like the New York Post.
That's so funny.
Oh, there you go. Top one. This is wild because it actually goes into descriptions of angels too. And so actually in Enoch it talks about, well, if you scroll down, now that's that you can probably click on the scribed because it'll show you all the documents from the actual declassified file. This is also on CIA.gov.
What year was this?
This happened recently. This was like a couple months ago that this just kind of came all out.
Right, but what year was this project?
1988.
5
December 1988.
Wow.
So scroll down.
So in 88, they found the Ark of the Covenant?
Allegedly they remote viewed it. We don't know if they followed up.
Who was president back then? Reagan?
Go down.
Bush?
Senior? Okay, so scroll down, and then you'll see that. So this is like, they're going through in the notes. You have to read it, but you can scroll down. This is kind of.
So this is, he's like drawing where it is.
The remote viewer. So you have like the different things that are describing it. And if you keep going, you'll see like a cherubim. Keep going.
It's like showing the peak of
a
building.
Sorry. Go up a little bit. So that's interesting because if you look into actual, so there's like a wheel text. If you look into Enoch's description of angels and Ezekiel too, I think that that's kind of a tie, but go down more. You have like the actual here purpose of container. They should have like a cherubim drawing somewhere down here. Oh yeah, see, so that would be the seraphim.
Would be the what?
The seraphim.
How it's opened.
Yeah, so basically when they describe the ark, and so he's going through describing it, so these are the hand notes for it, and then it actually says that it's in a Middle Eastern country. The remote viewer describes the clothing in which individuals are in the area. I feel like I'm describing like an Indiana Jones movie, but this is actually from the CIA.
This image, scroll back to where that, what is that thing? Is that the corner of the box?
The covenant, yeah. He's describing, if you go up, and these are actually the handwritten notes on what was described by the remote viewer. And you have to go through the entire document, but yeah, that's what's described surrounding the Ark.
Do you know what they asked him to find?
Well, the Ark of the Covenant.
They asked him to go look for the Ark of the Covenant.
Yeah, if you go higher up in the documents, it's over there.
Right, but if you ask me to go look for the Ark of the Covenant, like, I know what I'm looking for, right?
Well, apparently these remote viewers.
I put it in my head, I draw what I think it's going to, like, show me that they fucking found it.
I don't know if they did, but they apparently
I don't know if they did either, but it's interesting, but it's not as interesting because you're saying show me the Ark of the Covenant, right? So he's drawing what we all saw in Indiana Jones.
Or can you locate
was
it?
That,
so the description.
What year was that? That was before Indiana Jones?
No, it'd have been in the same time period. Like
when did Indiana Jones?
So this is quite interesting, right? The story comes from this declassified document, basically that was top secret from back in the late 1980s, back when the intelligence was experimenting, and they say with psychic, which I think is witchcraft. I think it's demonic, but they were spying under projects like Sunstreak and Grill Flame is what they called it. So according to those files and what Luna described in this, one of the agency's trained remote viewers allegedly saw a coffin-shaped container, a gold that was overlaid on top of wood and then topped with these angel-like figures. And so it said it was stored in this wet subterranean chamber near this mosque-style dome, if you will. And so she goes on and on to discuss the details here. But if this is true, okay, that's more than a wild find, right? The Ark is the most sacred object in Hebrew history, said to hold the stone tablets given to Moses by God himself and to carry the power of divine judgment. But my question to you, chat, do you believe this is legitimate? Do you believe this is real? Right? And if we're going to think about this for a second, man, we can talk about deception. We can talk about the deceiver, how the enemy likes to work in the realm of deception. Bad Moon, yeah. First Indiana Jones. Yeah. Right? Under Dome of the Rock, Sherry. Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? I mean, I don't know. For me personally, I think it's BS. And that's just me. But I think at the end of the day, like, does it really matter? Not necessarily. But I think it's quite interesting to get a peek into what our intelligence agencies have been doing. It's like, were they twiddling their thumbs and just trying to figure out things to go and do? Like, they didn't have an actual game plan to go out and do actual intelligence? Or is that just distractive intelligence to make it seem like a lot of their work was just, you know, harmless? And it was just really innocent in terms of what they were doing. I don't know. It makes me look at some things quite interesting in that way. Yeah. Remote viewing. I don't know. Now, I do believe in the supernatural ability, right? And I think that because Lucifer and the third of the angels that fell with him are supernatural beings, right? They were angels. They're fallen angels. I believe that they still possess their abilities to some degree. Their gifts, the Bible says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So I don't believe they necessarily had their gifts taken back from them, if you will. I think they still have supernatural power. Satan, you know, he operates as an angel of light. We've heard about shapeshifters and whatnot and all the various things that are out there. But I think that there is real power on both sides. But we know that God's power always trumps anything from the enemy. Anything satanic cannot stand in the face of that which is divine, which is God's. I do believe, remember in the scripture where it talks about Philip, when he goes to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. And as soon as he's finished, as it brings the Ethiopian eunuch up out of the water after he baptizes him, and it says that immediately he was translated, he was taken from one area to another. You can talk about, you know, Enoch and Elijah and the way that they were taken, one in a chariot of fire, one in, you know, in a whirlwind. And so, like, you think about the way that they were taken and how all that played out, I believe there is supernatural events that can take place. I believe that people who receive psychic readings, it's not necessarily that it's because it's this mysterious thing that's like, wow, my God, look, they're telling me my future. They're giving me insights into my past. I believe it has been demons who have been assigned to those individuals, who have watched those individuals and what they've done. And even though that individual may not be able to see that demon spirit following them from a physical sense, that demon spirit's been following them from a spiritual sense, or physical sense rather, and they've been following them from a spiritual sense to be able to see what they're doing in the physical. And then it's easy for someone who is tapped into that dark realm to be able, as God can speak to a Christian and a believer, to interpret things from the spiritual to the physical. Someone can interpret that evil prophecy, if you will, from one of those beings and one of those spirits to somebody else and make them believe that this is a godded figure, not understanding that it is absolutely demonic. So needless to say, I was watching that and reviewing it with a grain of salt. But I think it's quite interesting to see a peek into what our intelligence communities were tapped into. And that just caught my attention, so I wanted to bring that to you guys. Now, why do I even bring that up to begin with, I guess, as we wind down here for the last few minutes, 14, 15 minutes of our show that we have left? I bring that up for a specific reason, because the passage of text that we have today that we come to, the scripture of the day, as we start with God here on LFA TV and we end with God, the scripture comes out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And it says this: the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He uses all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. And all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Hallelujah. Listen to that. I mean, this is a powerful verse of text, because we're living, chat, in an hour where the truth isn't just ignored, it's attacked through and through. The Bible told us that this day would come, and it told us how to stand in it. Listen to me for a second. The Apostle Paul writes here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, that in the last days, deception will be a normal tool of the enemy. Okay? Now is this starting to gel together for you, chat? It's going to come with power. It's going to look convincing. And many people are actually going to embrace it because they refuse to love the truth. They want anything else but the truth. Anything else. And this means that deception's not always going to look like an obvious evil. Sometimes it's going to appear to wear the costume of good intentions. It's going to look like authority, or it's even going to look like common sense. Okay? This is where we got to watch out. The enemy's tactic, chat, from the very beginning of time has been to twist the truth just enough to make it sound believable. Did God really say, Eve, that you can't eat of that tree? Because he knows that the day that you do, you're surely not going to die. But your eyes are going to be open to be like God, knowing good from evil. Right? In the garden, Satan didn't come to Eve with something that she knew was wrong. He planted doubt in what God had already said to her. Listen to me for just a second. Today, chat, deception comes through every single channel. We're talking about cultural pressures. We're talking about false teachers, false religion. We're talking about corrupt leadership. Anything that will make a lie easier to accept than the truth. Okay? And just like the religious leaders in Acts 4 tried to silence Peter and John because the truth threatened their power, the same spirit operates now today. Shut down the truth in order to maintain control. That's what it's all about. Now, verse 10 says that they perish, quote, because they refused to love the truth, end quote. Now, this isn't about truth just being a concept. This is truth that we're talking about here is a person. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when they were rejecting truth here, they were rejecting Jesus Christ. When people continually turn away from what's true, eventually they lose the ability to even recognize what truth is. And that's what scripture is calling here the powerful delusion that is being sent. Listen to me, chat. This is why loving the truth is non-negotiable for the believer, because without it, we're vulnerable to every kind of falsehood that blows through, every wind that blows of deception, of distortion, of perversion, etc. We are open to that attack if we do not hold on to the love of the truth. Okay? Now, Proverbs 18, verse 15 tells us the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. For the ears of the wise seek it out. So what does that mean? It means that we are called to seek truth even when it's buried. Stand on it even when it costs us everything that we have. And it means that we protect it when the world treats it like a threat. Now lock in for me for just a second, chat, because look, discernment without courage is absolutely useless. Courage without discernment is reckless, right? And God's people must have both. And I think that's the reason why I'm bringing this to you tonight. So look at this. We're not here to fit in with the world's narrative. We're here to represent Jesus Christ and the truth that he brings. And that means speaking up even when truth is attempted to be silenced, because living it when others continually want to compromise and holding fast to it when it costs us relationships, that's what we do. When it costs us status, when it costs us safety. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will what, chat? Complete that line for me in the chat right now. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Fill in the blank right there, chat. Somebody fill in that blank for me right now. That's right. It will set you free. Now we're talking about salvation here. It's about freedom in every part of your life where the enemy seeks to enslave you through his lies, chat. Now, here's the challenge, okay? You can't just hear the truth, you got to love it. You can't just agree with the truth, you got to live it out in your own life. You can't live contrary to the truth. And don't just keep it to yourself, you got to share the truth with others. You got to speak it. This is the crucial part, because look, silence in the face of deception is consent, and God's people are called to be the light in the darkness. So I've been telling you, right, the truth always comes out. The truth always comes out, and it does. And sometimes it drops like a bomb. We see these bombshell reports come out, etc. But when we're talking about this, I want you to understand that this truth, God's truth, the ultimate truth, is more powerful than all. And it packs a punch that when you speak God's truth, you're not just carrying your own words or the words of a report or some receipts from somebody who uncovered something. You're carrying the weight of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of heaven and earth. And that's something I would gladly speak up any day of the week, because I know who gets behind those words. You got to speak out. We got to live in truth. That's how we got to do it, chat. And so anyway, I wanted to bring this to you because I felt it was absolutely necessary to say. We need to ensure that we fight back and resist against all of these devices and attacks that the enemy tries to bring through these various forms of deception. And it's good sometimes to watch these types of things, like what's been discussed between Representative Luna and Joe Rogan. But it's also better to ensure that every morning when you wake up, you're putting on your spiritual goggles. You're praying in the Holy Spirit. You're tapping in with the Spirit of God to understand and have the mind of Christ to be able to perceive those things which the enemy is bringing. It's basically putting on some x-ray glasses, if you will, and taking everything underneath those x-ray glasses to see, because on the surface, it just looks like a piece of luggage, a TSA, right? But when you put it through that x-ray machine, you're going to be able to see the actual contents that are inside of it. And that's what the spiritual goggles, in a sense, are metaphorically. You're putting things through those lenses of the mind of Christ and through that spiritual wisdom to be able to see, is this of God? Or is there a deeper meaning of deception purposed and aimed at me to condition and program me? And you got to be awake to it. Because it's so easy to be caught slipping if you're not loving the truth, living the truth, and speaking the truth daily. So, Chad, I wanted to bring this to you. And I wanted to share this with you today. And I believe the Lord's going to help us in all things. Listen, if you right now don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know him, before we cap off today, I want to say a prayer with you. Maybe you've walked away from God at one point. You were serving God and you walked away. Maybe you've never known the Lord. Today, I'm going to pray this simple prayer. But I'm not only going to pray it for those who don't know Christ. I'm also going to bring it to those who have needs. Maybe you're sick in body today. Maybe you got a financial need. Maybe there's something mentally, emotionally, spiritually wrecking you, and you need God and you've been crying out. I want to lift up that need with you right now and pray with you and agree with you for that. I want to agree with you for family members, for friends, for our nation. So we're going to take the next couple of minutes and I want to pray with you. Don't let me just pray for you. Let me pray with you, meaning that we partake in this together. We partner and we speak words out. That means wherever you are, you pray as well. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Hallelujah. Ask anything in my name and it shall be done for you. Where two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst. Hallelujah. And so let's pray this right now together. First and foremost, repeat this after me. Chat, say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin. I receive you as Lord. And I thank you for dying and for rising again on the third day for my sin. I receive your salvation for me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power and understanding and strength to live for you, to walk with you, and to be a light for others. I pray this day that I will not only love your truth, but that I will speak your truth. And I will live your truth, Father. I pray for every need lifted up right now, that it would be met in the name of Jesus. And I thank you and give you praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful and mighty name. Amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray for all of my LFA family that is listening and watching this transmission live coast to coast, whether it be Bad Moon, LFA producer Eileen Jimenez, For Glory to Christ, T. Collins, Annette Smith, Logan, Father, Natalie Jets, all of my various people that are on here with me in the chat. God, I pray that you would meet their needs, God, spoken or unspoken, spiritual, physical, mental, financial, God. I pray that you would break through whatever it is that has been holding up that word, that message, that answer. Deliver it to them today. Grant them your peace. Give them your power. Holy Spirit, go with them and illuminate their eyes so that when they read your scriptures, they will be awakened and understand what it says and what it means. Guide them in truth and let them walk in power to fulfill the great commission to take this good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for being here with me today on the Vontez Point. We'll be back again tomorrow for another episode right here, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Thank you so much for blessing me with your presence. Don't go anywhere. Lock in because Hannah Faulkner is up next. God bless all of you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Is the continued divide between Trump and the Federal Reserve putting us behind the curve again? Can the Fed take action at the right time, or are we going to be looking at a potential economic slowdown? And what does this mean for your savings? Consider diversifying with gold through Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been viewed as a safe haven in times of economic stagnation, global uncertainty, and high inflation. And Birch Gold makes it incredibly easy for you to diversify some of your savings into gold. If you have an IRA or an old 401k, You can convert that into a tax-sheltered IRA and physical gold, or just buy some gold to keep in your safe. But first, get educated. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. Just text the name Vantes, V-A-N-T-E-S, to the number 989898. Again, text V-A-N-T-E-S to 989898. Consider diversifying a portion of your savings into gold. That way, if the Fed can't stay ahead of the curve for the country, at least you can stay ahead for yourself.